The following message from Pastor Greg Laurie is made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God.
If you would like to know how you can become a Harvest Partner, just go to harvest.org. That's harvest.org.
Today on A New Beginning, Pastor Greg Laurie interviews the inspiring author and speaker, Johnny Erickson Tada.
Greg, I don't want to be, quote, least in the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
And I do not want to diminish my eternal estate. I want to build toward it, lay up treasures in heaven about it, because I want to experience the fullest that I possibly can of joy and worship and service in heaven. But it all is linked to the degree that we trust and obey God down here on earth.
This is the day when the lost are found.
We're glad you're along today for a special edition of A New Beginning. Today, Pastor Greg Laurie visits with Johnny Erickson Tada, Christian author, speaker, and the host of her own radio program. A quadriplegic for more than 50 years, she offers unique encouragement on finding hope in difficult circumstances. Whatever your life is like right now, smooth sailing or the worst time of your life, you'll find good reassurance about the care and promises of our God.
I'm going to talk about a subject that you've written a book on, and I wrote a book on it. My book isn't as good as your book on the topic, but we both love the subject, heaven.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes. I mean, yeah. And you know, so in your book called Heaven, Your Real Home, you write this. I love this. Just 30 seconds in heaven will atone for all the heartache and hardship you went through. Probably just a second or two, you'll look out in your rearview mirror and you'll see earth like a half-forgotten dream, and suddenly you will be home. I love that. Earth, a half-forgotten dream, and suddenly you will be home. You know, Johnny, when you get to heaven, you believe your questions will be answered. And what do you think it will be like? And I'm sure you've thought about this. The moment you enter heaven and see heaven for the first time, have you ever just, you know, you have such a vivid imagination, you're an artist, you speak so eloquently and write. Just what do you think it will be like when you first enter heaven?
Okay, do you know the Castaway, the movie Castaways?
Yep.
Have y'all seen that movie Castaway, Tom Hanks?
Oh, yeah.
The theme music. Yeah. When I hear the theme music play to the Castaways, this is going to sound silly. I can see the pearly gates slowly open.
Huh.
I can see my dead form rise. Mm. I can feel the strength of resurrected legs holding up my glorified body, and I take gentle steps into heaven. You got to go find the theme music to Castaway and listen to it, because it is awesome. And that's what I sense. It's like this marvelous sense of wonder. And Greg, just earlier today, I was reading Philippians 3:20. We are citizens of that place, citizens of heaven. And we eagerly expect a Savior from there. Not just expect a Savior. We eagerly, I love that adverb, eagerly expect a Savior from there. The Lord Jesus Christ, who has brought everything under his control, will transform our lowly bodies to be like his glorious body. But please don't be thinking, Greg, that I am most looking forward to the body that works. I'm looking forward to the glorified heart. I want a heart that no longer tries to twist the truth. I want a heart that doesn't hog the spotlight. I want a heart that doesn't always want to try to get its way. I want a heart that is quick to give credit to others. I want a heart that is not anxious or fearful about the future. I want a heart that trusts God and is instant in obedience and absolute in its trust. That's what I want. I want a glorified heart. So every single morning, as I like to say, I get actively engaged in my own sanctification. Oh, God, like I said earlier, I don't want to be the Johnny I was yesterday.
Tell them what sanctification means.
Okay, you're the theologian.
Well, I'm asking you. I like the way you say it better than I do.
Oh, analogy.
If you say it, it'll be eloquent. If I say it, they'll fall asleep.
Well, okay. Well, when we come to Christ, we're justified, right?
Yes.
We're justified. It's a one-time event. The gavel is banged, and your name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life.
Sorry.
But it's a little like Congress passing the Clean Water Act. Because the next day, you can't go out to the Los Angeles River and drink clean water, right?
That's right.
It's going to take a long time for that Clean Water Act to kick into gear and make the Los Angeles River flow sweetly so that you can drink from it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that's sanctification, as colloquially as I can explain it.
Yeah.
It's then taking that justification. We're justified before God. Thank you, Jesus. And then we work it out. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling, the Holy Spirit tells us. Make your calling and election sure.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have doubts about your salvation? Start obeying God.
Mm-hmm.
And if you don't know where to start obeying God, how about Philippians chapter 2, verse 14, which says, do everything without complaining.
Yeah.
There you go.
That's
a good place to obey.
Yeah.
That's a start. You can start living the will of God tomorrow morning by purposing to go through the day, in fact, the rest of your life, without complaining.
Yeah.
And as you do, you will have obeyed, and God will transform your life. You'll change. You won't be the same Mary or Joe or Bob you were yesterday. You'll be a different person.
Yeah.
And because that's what it means to behold the glory of God and be changed from glory to glory to glory and to become like Him.
Yes.
That's a wonderful thing, sanctification. And if you don't know much about it, I'm sure Greg's written about it, so you ought to read about it.
I love the way you put it. You know, you quoted the verse, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Then it goes on to say, for it is God that works in you both to will and do of His good pleasure. And the phrase work out's interesting because it's a phrase that was used to describe going into a mine and getting the gold out.
Yeah.
So it's like the gold is there, like your analogy, the Clean Water Act. It's been passed, but now we have to apply it. And so it's like work it out, which means carry it to the goal. Not work for your own salvation. It's a gift from God, but work it out.
And it relates to heaven.
Yes.
Because, as Jonathan Edwards once said, every day you and I have an opportunity to stretch our soul's capacity for heaven. Because everything we do down here on earth has a direct bearing on our capacity for joy and worship and service in heaven.
Hmm.
I don't want to be, quote, least in the kingdom of heaven.
Yeah.
The Bible talks about people who will be, quote, least in the kingdom of heaven.
True.
I don't want to be there.
Yeah.
And I do not want to diminish my eternal estate. I want to build toward it, lay up treasures in heaven about it, because I want to experience the fullest that I possibly can of joy and worship and service in heaven. But it all is linked. It all depends to the degree that we trust and obey God down here on earth. So don't risk it. Don't jeopardize it. Trust and obey, and in so doing, increase your capacity for joy and worship and service in heaven, which in turn means you can cast more crowns at Jesus' feet. Hallelujah.
Pastor Greg Laurie will have more of this discussion with Johnny Erickson Tada in just a moment.
So many listeners have commented on the strength they receive from these daily messages. God's Word ministers to them, and it often gets them through some of their darkest hours.
Dear Pastor Greg, I listen to you through my iPhone app. Recently, I had listened to your sermon about how you handled your son's tragic death, and then I experienced something similar. My family was driving to meet me for Wednesday night Bible study at our church when they were struck head-on by an elderly man driving an SUV. I lost my husband, 16-year-old daughter, and a 4-year-old granddaughter in the accident. My 17-year-old daughter is currently at a rehabilitation center trying to recover from a traumatic brain injury. My stepdaughter, who was driving, managed to escape with a few broken bones and a concussion. It was her 4-year-old daughter that we lost. I'm grateful that God has led me to listen to your sermon. It helped prepare me for the spiritual and emotional struggles in my heart so that I could stand strong in my faith while we continue to pray for my daughter's complete healing. Please continue to be real in your sermons about death and grief, as they provide a wonderful foundation when things don't go the way we expect them to.
God's Word is such a comfort to so many in difficult times. And if you'd like to share your story, why not drop Pastor Greg an email? Send it to greg@harvest.org. Again, that's greg@harvest.org.
Well, today, Pastor Greg is speaking with Christian author and speaker Johnny Erickson Tada, and one of the most requested presentations of the year, we're calling Don't Waste Your Pain. Let's continue now.
Let me do kind of a lightning round, this little bit from the sublime to the ridiculous now. These are just real simple questions, like Johnny Erickson Tada, what is your favorite color?
I love blue.
That's my favorite color.
Really?
Favorite food. We talked about food in the back room. What is your, you know, is it like Mexican, Italian?
Oh,
do you like
no.
sushi? What do you like?
I love sushi.
Yeah.
Love sushi, yeah. I love sashimi.
Yeah.
Because I'm from Maryland. And so, you know, I like oyster stew and all that good stuff. I love my mother's crab cakes.
Oh, yeah. Crab cakes are good.
I love them.
My wife loves crab cakes, too.
Yeah, and we even order the $36 a can jumbo lump crab from Crisfield, Maryland. It's like takes a mortgage payment to pay for it, my opinion. But you know, when I really want to taste my mother's crab cakes, I order big time from Gelson's.
Yeah, good. So what makes you laugh?
My husband. The girls who get me up in the morning, they're all nodding their heads over there. I mean, he comes into the, sometimes he's wearing the minion eyes, you know. Sometimes he does this very silly impression of Dr. Yamaguchi.
Wow.
But you know, he's Asian, so he can get away with it.
Yeah.
But my husband really makes me laugh. He's got a great sense of humor.
So what makes you sad?
A wasted life.
Mm. Yes.
I know some people who are wasting their lives. And they have so much. Mm. So much to be thankful for, so many material blessings. But they've either turned away from God and are not believers, not followers of Jesus, or they are followers of Jesus, but they've chosen a carnal path.
Yeah.
And you know, I'm of the persuasion of Hebrews chapter 12. I'll tell you, Greg, when I was in high school, I named Christ as my Savior. I accepted Jesus at a Young Life weekend retreat, and I was involved in a Bible study and doing great things. But on Friday night, in the back seat of my boyfriend's car, it was another story. And so I felt terribly guilty. Oh, God, I'm so sorry. But then, what do you know, I confessed my sins on Sunday morning, and next Friday night, it would be a repeat of the same old thing. Until I had dug myself into slavery, and it was impossible to break free of sexual sin. Couldn't do it. And so, in April of 1967, after a sordid date with my boyfriend, I came home one Friday night, threw myself into bed, sobbed into my pillow, oh God, I'm going to go away to college in just a couple of weeks, and I just know what I'm going to do there, because my boyfriend's going to the same college. We're just going to sleep together, and I'll take birth control pills, and I'm going to make a mess of stuff. I'm such a hypocrite. I don't want to be, though. Please, Jesus, do something in my life to turn it around. And then I broke my neck 3 months later. Was God dealing harshly with me? I thought so in the beginning. I mean, I was outraged that God could take a prayer so seriously. You know, why did you take that prayer so seriously? And, you know, I spat things out at him like, okay, if that's the way you want to be, I'm never going to trust you with another one of my prayers again. That's it. And, you know, but I realized what I was doing is digging myself into another cycle of slavery.
Yeah.
Bitterness, and there's nothing worse than a bitter spirit. So I can look back and see that my diving accident, and you may disagree with me, you may think it makes God look harsh, but I believe it was an example of Hebrews chapter 12. A father loves the child that he disciplines. If the child is not disciplined, if a wayward, rebellious child who names his father as his father is being disobedient and unruly and rebellious and stiff-necked and stubborn, a loving father will reproof and correct that child and bring about discipline. That doesn't mean that God is punishing us. Mm-hmm. It's not retribution, like throw her in jail and see how that feels. So there, slam the door, throw away the keys. No, mm-hmm. no. But it is punishment, quote, punishment in the sense of discipline and restoration. Yeah. Not retribution, but restoration.
Yeah.
God restored me through this accident, and oh my goodness. I often, at least about 3 or 4 times a week, I'll be sitting at work, or I'll be in my house, and Ken will be just so, you know, wonderfully supportive, and I'm sitting there saying to myself, actually I'm praying, Jesus, oh Jesus, thank you for allowing my broken neck. Man, you were such a wise God. I didn't like it at the time, but you were so good and so wise. Look what you have done. You've brought such peace into my heart and set me free of sin. Bless you. And it's just a constant wellspring of praise to my Savior because of what he's done in my life.
Wow.
And it's I think it's discipline. You might disagree. Others might disagree. And you're free to disagree.
Yeah.
Because who really understands,
yeah.
you know, God's purposes and intent? He had perhaps maybe other things on his mind.
Yeah.
Maybe. When I read Hebrews 12, I think no. I think that it's discipline.
Yeah, I mean, we will know when we get to heaven. You know, I think that God looked at you and a young woman. Yes, you were going the wrong direction. But he saw a vessel that he could trust with his glory that would have integrity and would walk with him and would honor him. And he said, I'm going to put her in a place. You have heard the expression, if you see a turtle on a fence post, you know he didn't get there by himself. Right?
Right.
So God... You know, people would listen to your testimony if you stood before us as a healthy lady, but because you're in the place you're in, you've been able to bring honor to the Lord in an amazing way, and so we thank you for that, and not wasting your pain and being a blessing to many, so many, including me. And let me just close with this question. Johnny, someone's listening to you right now, and, you know, maybe they're disabled, maybe they're facing a tragedy, maybe... Everything's kind of going well, relatively, in life. But the biggest problem of all is that sin that separates us from God. They see you talking about your faith in Jesus and how he gives you the strength for each day and the hope that you have of heaven, the hope that we all have. So someone that's listening to you right now wonders, how can I have that faith? How can I have Jesus in my heart in a way... have a relationship with God like Johnny has, what would you say to that person?
Well, if you've come tonight dragged here by your elbow by your Christian friend and you weren't sure you wanted to come, but you've been sitting there and the things that Greg and I have been saying have warmed your heart, you know there's something that has the ring of truth in what we're saying, and your heart is being warmed. It ain't me. And it's not Greg talking. It's the Holy Spirit.
That's right.
God is bending over backward to bring you home. So I would just encourage you, look at the cross of Calvary and see a Savior who has rescued you already from your sins. All you need to do is trust him in it and believe him for it and invite his Holy Spirit to sit on the throne of your heart as you confess your sin and say, Jesus, I don't want to follow my old way of doing things. I don't want to be the stiff-necked, stubborn person that my husband knows I am. And no, not for me. I want to change. I want you to change me. Give me new life in you. And then give me the power to wake up tomorrow morning trusting you in a fresh new way. And you'll be on your way home.
Amen.
When you put your hand in the hand of Christ. For those of you who are Christians, perhaps God is calling you to rise to some new, fresh level of confidence in Christ. You are tired of a mediocre Christian walk. You want to rise to a new level of trust and confidence in him. Get in the practice of getting actively engaged in your own sanctification every single morning. Be intentional about the way you live tomorrow. Think about the choices you're making. Think about the words before they come off your tongue. Die to the sins that he died for on his cross for you. That's what it means to become like him in his death. Daily pick up your cross and die to the sins that he died for on his cross for you. And my goodness, your soul will be so much better bonded to the heart of your Savior. Your heart's going to get beating in rhythm with his. And before you know it, his joy, because he shares his joy on his terms. Mm-hmm. And his terms call for us to, in some measure, suffer as his own son suffered when he walked on earth. So get your heart beating in rhythm with his, and before you know it, his joy is going to spill over heaven's walls, splash up in your heart, effervesce out to others in an ecstatic encouragement, a river of encouragement, and then rise up back to the Lord in a fountain of praise.
Amen.
Don't you want to live that way? Oh, my goodness. The world would be turned upside down.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Let's thank Johnny Erickson Tada for being here tonight. God bless you, Johnny.
Thank you. Thank you.
Wow. Just incredible. Wasn't that amazing? Well, I'm just so blessed to be able to sit there and talk with her. And I thought we would close with a prayer. And I would like to extend that invitation for you to believe in Jesus. You know, there some of you have never made that commitment to Christ. I thought it was very interesting and very candid what Johnny shared about when she was a young girl. I've never heard her tell that story before. And the struggle she was having with promiscuity and immorality. And you know, just, yeah, that's the story of some young kid here tonight, a young man, a young woman. And then there's somebody else that is dealing with other problems in life, and whatever it is, the answer is Jesus. So if you're not sure if Christ is in your heart right now, if you don't have the confidence that you'll go to heaven when you die, if you want this relationship with the Lord like Johnny has and people around you have, I want to lead you in a prayer right now where you can ask Christ to forgive you of all of your sin. No matter what you've done, he'll forgive you. But you have to be sorry for that sin. You have to turn from that sin, and you need to ask him to come into your life. And he'll do it because Jesus says, I stand at the door and I knock. And if you'll hear my voice and open the door, I will come in. And he can be with you and he can be in you tonight. And he's just a prayer away. So we're going to close in prayer. And let me invite you to believe, or for some of you maybe, to make a recommitment to Christ if you need to tonight. Let's all bow our heads. Father, thank you for this night, and thank you for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for us. And Lord Jesus, thank you for coming. You were born in the manger, and you lived a perfect life, and then you died that perfect death, and you absorbed the wrath of the Father in our place, and then you rose again from the dead. And you stand ready to come into any human heart. And I pray for those that don't know you that they will come to you now. Amen.
Pastor Greg Laurie with an important prayer. And if you'd like to make a change in your relationship with the Lord today, Pastor Greg will help you do that in just a moment before today's edition of A New Beginning wraps up. And for a copy of the full interview with Johnny, what we heard today and last time, get in touch for the presentation called Don't Waste Your Pain. It was one of the most requested presentations of this past year. Call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org. In his new book, Johnny Cash, The Redemption of an American Icon, Pastor Greg points out how challenges faced Johnny from his earliest days through most of his life.
Johnny always struggled in life.
He was born during terribly hard times in Arkansas. Little money, little opportunity, but plenty of family challenges.
The tragic story about Johnny's older brother, Jack, who died in a horrible accident there on their farm.
I still listen.
It's all told in Johnny Cash, The Redemption of an American Icon.
Really, the story of Cash is a story of redemption, and that's why I called it The Redemption of an American icon.
There are lessons to be learned from the life of Johnny Cash.
He had his lapses, he had his stumbles, but he never forgot where he came from. And in the end, he recommitted himself deeply to the Lord and had great, great faith in Christ. And now, of course, I believe is in heaven.
Johnny Cash, The Redemption of an American Icon, a spiritual biography from Pastor Greg Laurie, is available now. It's an encouraging story of God's grace and how He gives second chances. Who do you know who needs this assurance? We'd like to send you Johnny Cash, The Redemption of an American Icon. Call 1-800-821-3300. That's 1-800-821-3300. Or go online to harvest.org. And then, Pastor Greg, would you like to speak to those who'd like to make a change today in their relationship with the Lord?
I would. You know, I receive so many letters, Dave, from people from every walk of life, from successful businessmen to those who are incarcerated, to mothers struggling as they're trying to raise their children, to young boys and girls writing and saying they've made a commitment or a recommitment to Jesus, and maybe you need to make that commitment to Him right now. Let me lead you in a word of prayer. Yes, you can meet God right now. And I would just ask you to pray this prayer out loud after me. And this is where you are asking Christ to come into your life. Pray with me now, if you would. Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I've broken your commandments and I've fallen short of your standards. But I thank you that you have loved me and you have called me to yourself. So I turn from my sin right now and I choose to believe in and follow you. Be my Savior, be my Lord, and be my God from this moment forward. Thank you for calling me and loving me and accepting me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Hey, let me just say, God bless you. You've made the right decision, and welcome to the family of God.
Yeah, and we want to follow up with you by sending something called our New Believers Growth Packet to help you get started living as a believer. We'll send it without charge if you prayed for the first time today to receive Christ. Just ask for the New Believers Growth Packet when you call 1-800-821-3300. 1-800-821-3300. Or write A New Beginning, Box 4000, Riverside, California, 92514. Or just go online to harvest.org and click Know God. Next time, Pastor Greg continues our series of Top 10 Most Requested Messages of the Past Year as he presents a message called God's Plan for Sex and Marriage. Join us next time here on A New Beginning.
The preceding message from Greg Laurie was made possible by Harvest Partners, helping people everywhere know God. Sign up for Pastor Greg's free daily email devotions at harvest.org.